Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. In this podcast, we interview policymakers, partners, and thought leaders to spotlight education policies, research, and practices so that together we can create a brighter future for every Washington student. This episode highlights the work of the Bellingham School District, the second in a series of three episodes that focus on equity and dual credit and career technical education, or CTE. The Bellingham School District's mission is to collectively commit that their students are cared for and respected, and that they will graduate from Bellingham schools prepared for success. All students will be exceptional in their own way, with strong character, a passion for learning, and ready for the widest range of educational and vocational options to support a diversity of life choices. More info at bellinghamschools.org. Jeff Tietrick has been Director of Teaching and Learning for Career and Technical Education in Bellingham Public Schools since 2012. Prior to becoming director, he was a high school technology education teacher in Bellingham. Keith Schott is a Director of Teaching and Learning in Bellingham Public Schools, supporting student services in high school, among other responsibilities. Keith has a background in social studies and was a high school principal in Bellevue and Bellingham. And Dana Smith is communications manager and a former high school English and CTE teacher in Bellingham Public Schools. Jeff, what kinds of CTE pathways does Bellingham Schools offer?
Well, we have multiple pathways in all different program areas. For example, we have an aerospace program, we have sports medicine, lots of business classes, robotics, engineering, manufacturing. We have over 46 different career and technical programs. The pathways are really there's a lot of variety for students to choose based on where their interests are.
What does a pathway look like? Is it just a single or a couple of classes, or is there an entire map or roadmap of a way to help a student get to that actual career?
Well, that's a great question. Some programs have multiple classes that stack on top of each other, so they have really good scaffolding. Other programs are just 1 year long, and then students choose to seek educational options at our partnering skill center. So we have a lot of different varieties where students can choose their own path, and depending on what career cluster, what program area, or what vocation they may be interested in.
And what kind of partnerships have you created to ensure that the skills that the students are learning are actually relevant and current?
We have lots of close partnerships with our local businesses, with our regional skill center at the Northwest Career and Technical Academy, with Bellingham Technical College and Whatcom Community College. They're all of our partners in developing programs of study for kids to start at the high school level and then pursue on to post-secondary where they can earn a professional credential.
Great. And what kinds of successes have you seen?
We've seen lots of successes, especially in the last few years after we've changed to a more robust elective schedule where students have the opportunity to choose more variety of their passion areas for career and technical ed programs. Now kids have 9.5 credits versus 4 in our previous system where they can really expand on their choice and be able to choose pathways that really speak to them.
How does that happen? Do students take a sort of interest assessment? How do they find out what they want to do?
Well, we start that process in middle school. Our middle school programs start to do interest inventory assessments and they start to develop the student's high school and beyond plan. And so it's a plan of action where students are looking at interest surveys that direct them into career clusters where we have elective classes in each cluster. So once a kid identifies what cluster they're targeting, then they can look at all the different options of elective courses that align with those interests.
Do they meet with a career guidance counselor or somebody to help them stay on that path?
Yes, we have trained staff. All of our career and technical staff are trained in administering these assessments, supported by our counselors and our career center specialists.
How do you ensure that there's equitable access to these programs? Because they sound great.
Every kid, it's one of our graduation requirements to have the intro class. It's called technical literacy. There's a career unit that's inside of that class that every incoming freshman takes it. It's equitable in the sense that the dual credit offerings for that program are all free, so there's no barriers for kids to access. So anybody that comes into the program can take advantage of these opportunities.
And what does the dual credit look like?
The dual credit is a partnership between the high school and the community technical college where if a student meets a certain benchmark of competency in the class, the state has set a 3.0 GPA on this benchmark. So if students meet that benchmark, then they can earn the dual credit, which is a college transcript.
Yeah, which is great. That way they can earn college credit and high school credit at the same time. Do you find that the students who take this particular pathway are truly prepared for what comes after high school?
I think they are, yeah. I think that the skills that they're learning are the skills that industry is seeking right now. So they're all tangible. A lot of them are micro-credentials, like the Microsoft Office certification, or typing speed and accuracy. I know a lot of students are doing really well with that, and there's still college classes that teach typing and keyboarding skills. So those are just a couple of examples of the dual credits that we offer, and kids are doing really well, and they're meeting college-level expectations with those classes.
Are there any particular pathways that seem to be more popular than others?
I would say that our STEM pathways are becoming very popular. We have a lot of extracurricular opportunities in middle school and high school that really focus on the STEM pathway, like FIRST Robotics. We have VEX Robotics, a lot of engineering, bridge building, environmental science, STEM clubs, building solar panels on the roofs of schools. We have a lot of community partners that are very interested in STEM education right now, so there's a big push on getting kids to really apply the science and technology and engineering and math skills to their courses and to look at what career opportunities there are after high school with that.
Do you find that communities of color or students who come from a background of poverty have success in getting into these programs and doing well after high school?
Yeah, I think that these classes really appeal to a broad spectrum of students. They're all real hands-on, they're very accessible, they're fun, they're engaging, and they lead to relevant outcomes. And I think that the relevance of these classes really appeal to students of color, to students of poverty, because they're looking at real relevance in their education, and then for career and technical ed to come in and show that relevance and show the work experience is really empowering.
That's great, because I was wondering, one of the critiques of CTE is that it sometimes involves tracking, and I was just wondering how the Bellingham School District avoids that so that everyone really does embark on the pathway that they want to be on instead of being guided or nudged in a particular direction.
Some students choose to take the career and technical pathways because now the state is opening up the doors towards graduation with highlighting a career and technical pathway versus a one-time standardized test score. Mm-hmm. And I think that acknowledging the fact that students have a passion and interest in a specific career choice is very powerful. In my opinion, I think it's more powerful than how you do on sitting down and taking a standardized test.
Where do you find that a lot of the graduates from Bellingham schools end up going for their careers? Do they stay in the area, or do they move to Seattle or go up to Vancouver, BC, or go elsewhere?
Well, that's a really tough question. It's hard. Once they leave our system, it's kind of hard to figure out where they are.
Yeah.
I know that we send a pretty large cohort to Whatcom Community College. We also send kids all across the state to go to four-year college. And I know that we've had a lot of success or interest with our past job fairs and career fairs where students are looking at direct-to-work employment. One of our examples would be with our aerospace program. We partnered with Boeing, and so the graduates of our aerospace program are guaranteed an interview with Boeing for their summer apprenticeship program. And a couple of our students, after our first year of the program, got hired on to the 747 line. So some kids are looking at going right to work instead of going to a post-secondary educational pathway.
What would you like to do in terms of building out the CTE program here in Bellingham that you haven't done already? If you could wave a magic wand and there were no budgetary constraints, what would you like to do with this?
Wow, that's a good question. I would like to probably take a look at the areas that we've had a difficult time building just because of facility. I think that there's going to be a big need for more healthcare pathways. We don't have a huge variety in that specific career cluster. We offer sports medicine and family health and like medical terminology, but we don't have any direct courses that link towards the healthcare profession. We do partner with the Northwest Career and Technical Academy that offers some of those programs for nursing and vet assisting, dental.
Keith, what do you have to add?
Well, you know, Jeff is really our specialist for CTE side of the house. And as far as dual credit, we have a lot of opportunities on the academic side. College and the high school, which is a difficult one to sustain because there's still a fee involved for a lot of kids and makes it less accessible. Advanced placement is another association we have with the College Board. Pretty significant programs at all of our comprehensive high schools. We're able to subsidize those tests as a district, either dramatically reduced or no fee for our kids. We also associate with a local Running Start program through BTC and Whatcom Community College. A lot of our kids have blended schedules. some at the high school and then some at the local community college as well. Again, it's about reducing barriers anytime we can see that. Under our umbrella, it's an effort that we have called Project Free Education, continuing to try and take care of any type of financial barriers that may get in the way of our families.
That's fantastic. Now, how does all this fit in with the 24-credit graduation requirement?
With the 24-credit graduation requirement, we, a few years ago, I think that was this 17, 18, 4 years ago?
We're in the fourth year now.
Fourth year, and we've moved to a 4x8 schedule. So that means we're on A-B day that alternates every other day, and the students have the ability to choose 8 classes instead of 6, which was our former schedule. So in the old model, a kid could only earn 24 credits in our system. So if they had a setback or failed a class, it would really be a detriment to their ability to graduate. So now we have the opportunity to earn 32 credits, where 30 now to graduate. So kids have a lot more room in their schedule to take passion area classes. We didn't expand the number of credits in our core academic areas. We expanded our graduation requirements in our electives. And so what that really did is it really opened up a lot more opportunity for kids to take PE or to take music or to take career and technical programs. We eliminated the 0 hour, where it really put a barrier on students that had transportation issues. So if they had to take the bus to school, they couldn't access those programs. So now we have all of our programs inside of our day. We also brought back traffic safety education inside of our day. We're offering it free for kids and families. So that's a big win for our district to provide that opportunity for our kids and our community.
Is that driver's ed or is that something else?
Yeah, well, it's driver's ed, and we also linked it to financial literacy. So they have the traffic safety components of driver's education, and they also have financial literacy elements that really tie well with this course, because it's a lot about responsible decision making, lease versus buy, liability, budgeting, things like that, that really tie into the first real big purchase of a young adolescent's life, is to purchase a car. So then we could cover insurance and topics like that.
That's fantastic. So can what you're doing here in Bellingham be replicated around Washington State, or does the state need to do something to create an environment where what you've done here can be done everywhere?
I think it's slowly starting to happen, and we see districts moving towards more robust schedules like the 4x8 or 7-period day that offer more credits for kids. I know there's many districts in the state now that are still on a 6-period day. It's a financial ask for the district. It does cost more money, but if you're looking at whose needs are we serving, we're serving the needs of kids, and making that investment is definitely worth it for me. And I know that many staff in our district really see that this schedule is a good move for kids and a good move for staff.
So is all this funded by the state, or do you have special funding to supplement what you're getting from the state?
This is all through state funding. We keep it in our budget. We do run some operational levies in our district that help support some of the extra costs for staffing. The funding comes from the enrollment, and what we did is we kind of leaned out our system knowing that this move was going to happen.
Jeff, he's been director for CTE for the last 3 or 4 years now, and it has exploded with the number of kids participating. And so funding does follow the kids as they enter into our system. Even just compared to 6 or 7 years ago, CT options, it's not just metal shop anymore. We have so many different options for kids out there. So it's grown dramatically and much more versatile.
On the topic of funding, our district set money aside in anticipation for the move to change from a 6-period day to an 8-period day. We tried really to look at a model where we could do it at our middle school as well, but the funding wasn't quite there to do both secondary levels. So we just focused on the credit-bearing high school programs for now, but we anticipate that we can still receive some additional money from the state to hopefully, move a more robust elective schedule down to the middle schools as well. I think it was just smart decision-making on our executive leadership in our district to set the money aside and to make the change happen, because changes like that are really difficult in districts, because you have a lot of competing interests. You have 4 different high schools. We all moved to the same bell schedule. We had different bell schedules at every single high school. Now we're under 1 common schedule, 1 common catalog. It's really helped, especially for our magnet programs. For example, I keep mentioning aerospace. Our aerospace program is at Options High School, and students from every high school in our community can access that because of the schedule is on a common day.
Dana, you had something you wanted to say about funding for the CTE programs here in Bellingham as well.
Yes, well, funding, school funding, as we all know, is extremely complicated and complex. But what I can say is that all of our funding decisions were driven by our commitment in the Bellingham Promise. It is actually our strategic plan. It drives all the work that we do in the district. And so when we looked at the 24 credit graduation requirements, and then we looked at the fact that our kids could only take 24 credits in high school, and as Jeff mentioned, you look at a child who needs special education services that might eat up some of their schedule, or they might have a setback or a difficulty in a class and need to retake it. And we realized that we weren't being equitable with how we spread out that funding in order to give the students the opportunities to pursue some of these passions and really those career readiness classes that they needed. So as a teacher, I experienced, as a CTE teacher, kids saying, I'd love to take yearbook, but I can't. I don't have room in my schedule. I need to take math. And it's like, well, I'm certainly not going to argue with that. So the decisions that our leaders made was to prioritize choice and opportunity for all kids so that even a student who needs that extra period of special education support could also still take a CTE class and not have to choose one over the other.
So the funding is available to any district. It's just a matter of deciding where to prioritize then?
Part of that, of course. And then we have a really, really supportive community here in Bellingham. Our levies are always very well supported by our community, and that's something that we couldn't do that without the support of our community here. So in terms of the details of how those decisions were made, I wasn't in the room, and I know we have really smart people doing that. But I think what we would hope other school districts could hear is that when we lead with our mission, we can do what kids need, and that's what's most important to all of us here, so we can really fulfill that Bellingham Promise for all of our kids.
So how do parents feel about this in the district?
In terms of our expansion of CTE programs, I think they love it. I can just say, too, I have a child who's a junior at one of our comprehensive high schools, and the fact that he's able to take all his core classes and take electives and have a really balanced life has been another wonderful outcome of the prioritization that our district made for the A-period schedule, which, you know, it allowed a lot of our programs to really blossom and grow and for our kids to experience more balance in their day-to-day life.
That's huge because it's hard to maintain a sense of balance with all the responsibilities that kids have these days.
Yeah.
So the fact that they can take these core classes that are rigorous and pursue their passions, that seems like a rare thing.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. And again, we would just say that's driven by our core mission in the Bellingham Promise, that all of our students are able to find their passions and explore them, because you don't get that chance a lot after high school sometimes, or you have to pay for it, right? So we want to be able to provide that for our kids and our community. It's really awesome.
Jeff Tietrick is Director of Teaching and Learning for Career and Technical Education in Bellingham Public Schools. Keith Schott is Director of Teaching and Learning Supporting Student Services in High School for Bellingham Public Schools. And Dana Smith is Communications Manager and a former high school English and CTE teacher in Bellingham Public Schools. More info at bellinghamschools.org. Jeff, Keith, Dana, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Eric.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
And thank you for listening. To learn more about League of Education Voters or to support our work, please visit educationvoters.org.